I also want to say that this is our third Sunday of Advent. Oh my goodness, it's going quick, isn't it? Stores are crazy, but I like it. I like it. It's Christmas time. It's good. Our theme this the year is the call of Christmas, and we look the first week. We look at angels who have appeared to different people and brought a calling upon their life. The first one that we looked at was Zechariah, that the angel appeared to Zechariah, and it was a call to prepare, that we need to prepare our hearts for the coming of the Lord. So, you know, we think of Christmas, we don't usually think of it starting with Zechariah, you know. We don't see any figurines of Zechariah up here, I don't think. But he's the one who started it with telling us that we need to prepare ourselves for the coming of the Lord. And then last week, we looked at that wonderful lady, Mary, and it was a call to provide. She would provide herself to give the Savior to the world. We kind of need to do the same thing, actually. We prepare ourselves for the Lord. We give him our lives, that Christ could be in us, that we could share him with the world. And then today, we're going to look at our third candle of Advent. It's going to be a call to protect. And we're going to look at the angel coming and speaking to Joseph.
Merry Christmas. Is Christmas bearing down on you, or are you enjoying the season?
Enjoying.
I hope so. And the way that you look at that today, hopefully by the end of the service, if it's bearing down on you, if you feel the pressure of Christmas coming on you, which we all do to some degree, I'm hoping that that's different by the time we get through this time today. Let's run that clip, guys, of Joseph.
There were 14 generations between Father Abraham and King David. 14 more generations between David and the Babylonian exile. And 14 generations later, the great king would be born. A 2,000-year lineage comprised of slaves and kings, heroes and adulterers, prophets and prostitutes. They were the faithful and the faithless. So what kind of king would this be? While many dreamed of the day this king would come, it began as a real-life nightmare for one man. A good man, with God's lot cast upon him.
Joseph. I promise you, Joseph, I am telling you the truth.
I'm not saying you don't believe it. I'm just saying, I don't know if I do.
So, what are you saying?
Take her as your wife. She's pregnant! I haven't been with her! The baby's not mine!
Take Mary as your wife.
I can't do this! I don't want to hurt her. But I can't.
Joseph, you are a descendant of David. Your ancestors have taken great steps of faith, and now it is time for you to step out. Take Mary as your wife.
But the baby is...
What is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. It is prophecy fulfilled. behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel.
Emmanuel.
God with us.
God with us. Emmanuel. Messiah.
A dream. A heavenly visitation. And what was distressing became a blessing. A blessing that would challenge Joseph's faith, demand every ounce of his character, and forever alter the course of his life and yours.
God with us.
What kind of king would this be?
Joseph. Joseph's call to protect. We are going to be looking at Matthew chapter 18, if you want to turn there. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. But we're going to also go back to Luke and a few other places to look at the whole story. The short video we just looked at really portrays Joseph as a real person, puts flesh and blood on the guy. He's a real man when he got the news that he got, and how would he deal with it? This is the same Joseph who's going to shelter and protect Mary. You know the traditional story that we get from Luke, the guy who is going to carry that woman with him, protecting her, getting her on that donkey, getting her to Bethlehem because of that decree from Caesar. And this is the same guy who's going to be running around frantically looking for a place for this baby to be born. This is the same guy who has never, ever helped deliver a baby. No man probably does. They had midwives to do that. And here, the woman is in labor. He's looking for a place for this baby to be born, and the only place available is that very humble, lowly manger. This is the Joseph that we start out with. This is the Joseph that God calls, and this is also going to be the Joseph that will eventually go from being just a carpenter to a legend. This is the Joseph who will say yes to God. And when we say yes to God, all the what-ifs, all the I can'ts, all the buts, all the stuff falls aside because it's no longer just us doing it. When we say yes to God, he empowers our heart and our mind, and we become more than we ever thought we could be. You know, we always think about Mary as being the selected one, and she was. She was held up for a wonderful, amazing task here, to actually bear the Son of God. But what about Joseph? What about Joseph? Joseph was selected by God every bit as much as Mary was. Joseph kind of plays second fiddle. And Mary gets a great amount of acclaim, and she should. But I really think we need to look at Joseph's story today. And it's interesting because in Matthew the writer, Matthew the tax collector, Matthew the one who became the disciple of the apostle of Jesus Christ, this Matthew feels inspired to begin his gospel, the gospel of according to Matthew, with a genealogy. You saw a piece of it up on the screen here. And the genealogy in Matthew actually goes all the way back to a man named Abraham. And it comes from Abraham down the line to Joseph. Because Joseph is going to be the man that God uses to fulfill a promise that was made to Abraham 2,000 years earlier. In Genesis chapter 22, verse 8, at a point in time where Abraham is ready to sacrifice his son, an Old Testament picture of what was going to happen in the New Testament with God giving his only son, Abraham's about to do it, about to take a knife and kill his son, the unthinkable thing, and God stops him. And God makes a promise to him. And that amazing verse where Isaac says, but where will the sacrifice come from? And the King James Version reads, where Abraham says to his son, God will provide himself. a sacrifice. Joseph is about to be the one to help deliver that new child, that child that will become that promise, that sacrifice where God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. This is how it happens. Now, to understand what's going on with Joseph, let's look back for a second at Mary's visitation. Joseph is a guy who's having dreams. I think we can probably relate more to the idea of having a dream. Most of you have had dreams, and some of them are unusual. But very few of us have had the kind of encounter that Mary had, a face-to-face encounter with an angelic being. I have not. I am glad I have not. I don't think I ever want to. Dreams are good. But let's go back and look for a second at Luke. So we're going to put up Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 41. It'll be on the screen. If you want to follow in your Bible, do so. And we read about the encounter of Mary. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the second trimester of Elizabeth, the mother of John the Baptist, and also the relative of Mary, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth to a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary, and she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. Now we're jumping down to verse 38 here. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. This is the right thing to say. This is the response finally of, yes, Lord, I am your servant. It's always the good response. May everything you have said about me, come true. And then the angel left her. And a few days later, Mary hurried to the hill country of Judea. Now, I want to stop there for a second. Right after that encounter, what does Mary do? She doesn't have conversation with Joseph. She takes off to leave town to the hill country of Judea. She lives further north, so you're going down south. And this is where Zechariah lived, the husband of Elizabeth. She entered the house and greeted Elizabeth. And the sound of Mary's greeting, Elizabeth's child leaped within her. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Now, I think Mary, in those situations, even though God had so powerfully spoken to her, even though an angel appears to her and tells her this is what's going to happen, even though she says, yes, I'm your servant, yes, Lord, I'm going to do this, and humbly bows before God, you know, you still want, on a day-to-day basis, you still want encouragement, you still need direction, you still need support and comfort. And so she heads to the person that she probably loves maybe more than any other person, her cousin Elizabeth, seeking help, wisdom, and guidance there. And she gets much more than she bargained for, because upon that meeting, the baby inside of Elizabeth, John the Baptist, to be born, leaps, and Elizabeth is filled with the Spirit and says, blessed are you. Perfect, strengthening, comforting reinforcement. But Joseph is still not in the picture. And when Mary returns back to her home after visiting Elizabeth, she goes to visit her husband, and this is now 3 months later, and she's 3 months pregnant now, and for the first time, Joseph is getting the news that his wife-to-be is expecting a baby. Try and imagine the reaction. And she tells him, I've had a visitation of an angel, and this is going to be the Son of God. And he's like, and you know, but who knows how it happened? We saw the film clip. Who knows how this happened? But Joseph was really in a tough place. Now, you guys, most of you guys know my family. You know I have three daughters. Most of you have met them. You guys have supported me in prayer for our daughter Heather when she came down with the breast cancer, and you were there praying for us, and God did miraculous, wonderful things. But there are always these challenges to life, right? Day-to-day challenges. The week before last, Jen and I are coming out of the gym, and I thought to look down and look at my phone, and my phone had a message on it, and it was from Heather. So before we went anywhere, I just quickly called her back, and Heather's not an emotional person most of the time, but she became emotional on the phone, and she said, Dad, I've got to get to the hospital right away. They found the blood clot in the sonogram, and they're concerned that if it travels up to my heart, it will kill me. And not because of my great strength, but because of God's great faithfulness. I just felt at that moment, I said, look, you know what, let's pray. And three of us prayed together, Jen and I and Heather on the phone, saying we were going to trust God in this situation. So she was taken to the hospital by her husband. They did another CAT scan. The CAT scan showed a blockage. It was a blockage in a major vein. And again, the problem was what could happen if it breaks loose. So they immediately, the surgeon scheduled her for surgery the next morning to put a filter type of a screen in there. So if it did break loose, it would not travel and it would be caught and it would eventually be dissolved and absorbed by the body. And in the process of all this, we're praying, and Pastor Jerry put it online. You guys were praying, and people, I know you were supporting us in prayer. But the amazing thing that happened next was that the surgeon insisted on having an MRI, and when the MRI came back, now we're talking in the space of about 24 hours, all of this, 24 hours. When the report comes back, and it doesn't come back right away, it comes back that night following, the surgeon's words are something to the effect that this must have been a mistake, because there's nothing there. It's completely clear. There's nothing there. I think this was a complete mistake. I think she might have been the victim of technology. And I think that there was nothing there. Now, I have to tell you that my brother-in-law, Joe, was at the doctor that Heather had seen. And when he was asking how she was, he said to her, the sonogram said, this is the first test, that it was a massive clot. Massive. Now, I don't know if that could have been a mistake, but I'll tell you what, we know that God did something. We know that God was involved there. Amen. And yet, when you go to tell someone about this, when the doctor wanted to know the report, the doctor says, please call us back and let us give us the report. So I do, but I can't get the doctor. So you never can get the doctor, right? So the nurse is asking, what happened? And I'm trying to tell her, yes, well, you know, this. She had a clot, and suddenly it wasn't there. What? Well, what happened? I said, well, we believe God healed her. Okay. On the other end of the phone. Because even if, now, as amazing as that situation is, that's nothing compared to someone saying that I'm going to become pregnant with the Son of God, and this is what's going to. So Joseph is in a kind of a tough spot. And God knew that he needed reinforcement, and God knows that we need reinforcement. When God speaks to you and says to you, I want you to do this for me. At first, you might not want to say yes, but when you finally do say yes and you get that support and release, he knows you still need support in that. So we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 here through 24. It'll be up on the screen. I'm going to read it. Again, you're welcome to follow along with me in your Bible. Verse 18 reads, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man, and he did not want to disgrace her publicly, so he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Now, Mary's encounter was different. Joseph's encounter is by way of dream. And he had already made up his mind what he was going to do. Put her away quietly, try not to embarrass her. By the way, the stiffest penalty for a situation like Mary, for a person who became pregnant that way, was stoning. It was capital punishment. And so Joseph was concerned for many things here. Put her away quietly. But when God steps in, Joseph steps back. And so it says again, verse 20, so as he considered this, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child in her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, confirming the words of Mary. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's prophecy, the word message through the prophet. And verse 23 is the word of the prophet. Look, the virgin shall conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded. He took Mary as his wife. So he immediately, that's the end of the engagement. We're getting married now. We're moving forward with this. But as he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus, just as the angel had instructed him to do, Jesus. There was no one else to corroborate the story from Mary. And Joseph, like you and I, had to deal with all of his emotions, the problems, the doubts, the fears, not to mention the idea of betrayal, that Mary had had relations with some other man at first. He knew that baby wasn't his. And Joseph was struggling with all of these things, but somehow when God steps in, when God directs, and I want you to understand this if you don't already, Joseph was selected of God, just like Mary was. Joseph was selected of God 2,000 years earlier, perhaps much longer than that. But when that promise was given in Genesis to Abraham looking forward, God was already looking at a man named Joseph coming down through that line. And the lives of these two people, Mary and Joseph, these two younger people, were intertwined in such a way that they could never have imagined. The angel Gabriel speaks to Joseph through a dream. Now, it's interesting that sleep study experts today, there's so much about sleep study, so much about sleep apnea, so much about dreams. Well, here's what they say about dreams. Most people average between 4 and 6 dreams each night. Now, you probably don't know that because you don't remember most of your dreams. Each dream typically lasts the range of about 5 to 20 minutes. Well, that surprised me because I've had dreams that seem like they went on all night long. You ever have one of those? You wake up, you go back to sleep, you wake up, and you don't want to go back to the dream, but you keep going. Have you had a dream where you wake up and you don't even know you're still dreaming? Between 5 to 20 minutes, and then over a span of your lifetime, that equates to 6 years of your life dreaming. 6 years of your life spent dreaming. Researchers claim that 99% of all of our dreams are forgotten right away after we awake. But some dreams are unforgettable, aren't they? Some dreams are life-changing. And there are dreams, and then there are dreams. And if you've ever had a spiritual dream, you know the difference. How many have experienced some kind of a... Okay, you know the difference. I know when I was a kid, I was probably 14, 15, I had a dream. And it was one that you never, ever forget. And in that dream, I was the age I was about 14, 15. My brother Vinny was very little. He was 9 years younger than me. And he came and spoke to me in the dream, and he was very frightened. The phone had just rung. And he said, John, he said, and he had that look on his face that Vinny gets when he's really scared. He said, it's for you. And I said, who is it? He goes, just take it. So I took the phone really like, you know, yeah, ask who it is, for Pete's sake, ask who it is. And when I picked up the phone, I said, hello? And the voice on the other end said, be careful, for evil is everywhere. And I know whose voice that was. You ever feel like you turn to mush, you know, like you have no strength left and you can't? Well, that's how I felt with that dream, that voice. And I said on the phone to him, who is this? I knew who it was. And the other side said, you know who this is. Even now, it makes my hair stand up talking about this. And he said to me again, be careful, mockingly, evil is everywhere. And I said, and it was the Lord. I answered him the first part of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I have everything I need. And although there was a laughter, evil laughter of that thing on the other side of it, I spoke that next day to my mother about it. She said, amazing that you picked that answer about God being your shepherd to watch over and keep you. There are dreams of all kinds, and they have spiritual nature to them. But when God speaks to us through a dream, and he's going to speak to Joseph several times through a dream, they are often unforgettable. Someone you may not have heard about, but his name is Dr. Jim Dennison. He's a PhD, he's an author, he's a cultural apologist, and he's begun to write many books. In fact, he's become so influential that if you go on the internet, look him up, you'll find that there are warnings about him to people who are non-Christians. They're warning about, be careful for this guy, because he's trying to bring together biblical Christianity and promises with modern-day situations. and he's doing it very effectively. He's written extensively about a global phenomenon going on that is happening in the Muslim world. And it seems that people in all different parts of the world, countries that are Islamic, controlled by the religion of Islam, people who are Muslims, are having dreams of Jesus. He's coming to them in a dream and speaking to them and calling them by name. And so many of them are becoming believers that he's estimating that there are probably more people who in that part of the world of that religion becoming believers now than there have in the last 15 centuries, that God is at work in that kind of a way. Do you ever hear that news? Of course not. But that God is working, he's at work in visions and in dreams with these people. Now, when Joseph woke up from that dream, he immediately went into action, took Mary, they were married, and they began that next stage, the next step. God's plan is always perfect, and you know, God always has the backup plan. He always does for us. He gave Joseph that support with that dream, but his plans are always perfect. And God is consistent. I really believe this positively, that for each of you in this place, for every person who is a believer, and even for those who are not yet believers, for the ones that God is calling, for the one that God's going to use you to bring to know him, that God is going to work consistently within your life in a certain pattern. He won't work the same way in your life that he does in mine. He won't work in the same way from your husband to wife. He works specifically, individually, but often consistently. And in Joseph's case, he's going to be consistent with dreams. Joseph will have at least three more dreams from God, a spiritual nature. I want you just to look at them for a minute. They are still in Matthew. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 2 here, starting with verse 13. So it should be up here. Go ahead and put it up, guys. It says, after the wise men were gone, this is after the birth of Jesus, after the Magi came to see him, and it didn't happen immediately. There was a time period between when Jesus was born and when the Magi got there. It is very likely that the wise men did not go to a manger scene, as we so typically put that traditionally. They probably were not there. Mary and Joseph probably did not stay there any longer than they had to. But when they were gone, this is the dream that God gets. And after the wise men were gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up. Flee to Egypt with the child and his mother, the angel said. Stay there until I tell you to return, because Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. The prophecies were there. Herod was very dangerous, very jealous. He sought the people who would know where those prophecies would be in the scripture. They discovered that it would be in Bethlehem, but the Lord was already preempting, telling Joseph to flee and go to Egypt. Verse 14 says, that night Joseph left for Egypt with the child and Mary his mother, and they stayed there until Herod's death. Dropping down to 19, another dream. When Herod died, the angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph. Get up, the angel said. Take the child and his mother back to the land of Israel, because those who were trying to kill the child are dead. And then verse 21, a third dream. So Joseph got up and returned to the land of Israel with Jesus, his mother. But when he learned that a new ruler of Judea was Herod's son, Archelaus, he was afraid to go there. And then being warned in a dream, again, he left for the region of Galilee. So the family went and lived in a town called Nazareth. Does God know what he's doing? This fulfilled the prophets, as they said, he will be called a Nazarene. By the way. And also, let me just throw this. If you look into history a little bit here, this guy Archelaus, he was one of the sons of Herod, the immediate successor, was no nice guy. He immediately went into slaughtering something like 3,000 people, influential people. And so God, again, preemptively acting, warning Joseph through a dream consistently, moved him onto the place where he was supposed to be, a town called Nazareth. All right, so Joseph not only listened to God's initial call, you know, the initial call about taking Mary to be his wife, but he listened to all the rest of God's call. Now, and I want to challenge you this morning. It's one thing to start out. You know, we hear God's voice and we respond and we listen to what God's saying. But we have to continue to do that. I don't want to be the same man today that I was yesterday. And I don't want to be the same man tomorrow that I am today. I want to be moving and growing and understanding and moving forward with God. We want to do that. Robert J. Morgan, in his book, The Strength You Need, he records an account about a guy named Bromwell Booth. Bromwell Booth is the son of another man you will recognize. His name is William Booth. Anybody recognize that name? William Booth? No relation to John Wilkes Booth, not those guys. But William Booth is the Salvation Army, correct, the founder of that army. And it turns out that in this little story account, the older Booth, William Booth, was visiting his son coming home into the city of London. As he came late that night, he noticed that there were men, homeless men, sleeping on the bridges of London. Now, the Salvation Army had already been formed. And when he met with his son, Bromwell, he said, Bromwell, are you aware of the fact that there are men sleeping on the bridges at night? And Bromwell said, well, yeah, there's a lot of unfortunate people who are homeless out there sleeping on the bridges. And William Booth said to him, you knew about this? And you didn't do anything about this? And so he challenged him, go and do something. Get going here. And that challenge was taken up by the son, and they started the Salvation Army shelters that changed the lives of thousands and thousands of homeless people. Go and do something. Now, Robert J. Morgan writes this about that story and in his book, this book I mentioned earlier about the strength you need. He says, go and do something. Go and do something is what Christians have always done in the strength of the Lord. That's what we're called to do in a world with broken down walls. Christianity has changed the planet more than any other philosophy or faith system ever conceived on this globe. Christians have been at the vanguard of the abolition of slavery, the promotion of human rights, the advance of prison reform, the establishment of child labor laws, the creation of hospitals and educational systems, the championing of rights for preborn children, the care of orphans and widows. It has been believers who've been behind the actions of those types. People who are obeying the command of God to go and do something. Barbara gave us that opportunity today with Compassion Ministries. Please, some of you will pick that up. And I can tell you that somewhere today, nearby, somewhere nearby you, there's a child to be raised. There's a heart to be healed, a parent to care for, a grandchild to love, a church to revitalize, a family to feed, a mission to support, a soul to save, a rift to mend, a note to send, a wall to rebuild. God calls us to go and do something in His strength. Joseph responded to the first call of Christmas. And now God gives us the opportunity again for this Christmas. This Christmas holiday is a whole lot more than just gift giving. It's a whole lot more than decorations. Yeah, it's great. We love it. It's a whole lot more than special foods. I hate fruitcake. Please don't give me one. Earlier I asked you about, do you feel Christmas bearing down on you? Or does Christmas mean a lot more than that to you? Now, in a moment here, I'm going to ask you to pray with me. And as we pray, I want you to listen. There is an insert in your bulletin where you, it was a place to take notes, and whether you use that or not, I want you to take that out. And if God speaks to you in these next couple of moments, these few seconds are coming, if He asks you to do something, if He asks you to give of something, to give of yourself, I want you to write it down because it's easy to just hear that and forget about that. But if you get that thought, that idea, that word from God, and you have a lot of buts or what ifs or fears, then know that God never asks us to do this on our own strength. God always asks us to do something that will change our lives and the lives of others, but always that He will be with us. So what I want to do right now is take that moment, and would you just bow your heads with me, and if God speaks to you, and I'm sure that He is going to speak to you, about something, someone, some situation, some giving, something. What comes to mind, comes to heart, you write it down. Let's take a moment for prayer here. Here's the word that God's giving me right now. I'll share with you. Tell them not to be afraid. Tell them I'm with them. Tell them I'll strengthen them. Tell them I'm going to change who they are. Tell them that they're going to do something great for me. Now, Father, you've always made this promise to us that your word never goes out without taking effect in the way you want it to. Change our hearts today, Lord. Help us to stop looking at what we can do for ourselves and what we can do for you and for others. And we pray these things in the precious, holy, wonderful, matchless name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen. The Lord be with you. Go in his strength. Go and do something. God bless you.